In 1 Kings chapter 17, it's the first time in the Bible that we meet this man called Elijah. We were told tonight that he was a Tishbite, the inhabitants of Gilead. And those of you that are familiar any at all with the Old Testament know that Elijah is a major character or a major player in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read where he stood toe-to-toe with King Ahab, who was probably the most wicked king that the northern kingdom of Israel had. But he stood before him and said, Ahab, there's going to be neither dew nor rain these many years according to my word. In other words, there's not going to be dew in the morning, and there's not going to be rain any time at all unless I say that there is. In chapter 18, we read about the contest that Elijah had up on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. There were 850 of them, 400 probably on the mountain, where they were going to have a test as to who was going to be God. Was it going to be Jehovah God, or was it going to be Baal? And Elijah said, hey, let's not halt between two opinions. If Baal's God, let's worship him. But if Baal's not God and a Jehovah God is God, let's worship him. Let's have a test. You take a sacrifice and put it on an altar, and you call Baal to send fire down from heaven. And then I'll take an animal and put it on an altar, and I'll ask God to send fire from heaven, and the God that sends fire from heaven, let him be God, and let's worship him. And so Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you guys can go first. And so they took an animal, cut him up, put him on an altar, and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Bible says they danced. Bible says they cut themselves. And they asked Baal to send fire from heaven. Nothing came. And Elijah said, okay, my turn. And he cut up an animal, put it on the altar, and he said, hey, I'm going to make it a little bit harder because I want you to really know that my God is God. He said, get some water. He said, dig a ditch around the altar. And by the way, this was after 3.5 years of drought. This was after 3.5 years where there was no rain. He said, I want you to dig a ditch around the altar, and we're going to use some of the scarce water, and we're going to douse this sacrifice. They poured 12 barrels of water on that sacrifice, just soaked the sacrifice, soaked the rocks, soaked the wood. And Elijah prayed and said, God, these people need to know that you are God. Send fire from heaven to burn up this sacrifice. And fire came from heaven and burned up the sacrifice, burned up the wood, burned up the stones that the altar was made of, and licked every drop of water up out of the ditch. And the people shouted, God, Jehovah God, is God. In verse 21... he stood again before Ahab and said, hey, king, it's a sin for you to have killed Naboth and stolen his vineyard. God is going to kill you, and your blood is going to be spilt in the streets, and the dogs of the city are going to lick up your blood. I mean, he was a man of God. He did not pull any punches. In 2 Kings chapter 1, I'll give you the answer to the Bible quiz today. In 2 Kings chapter 1, he called fire from heaven on two different occasions and burned up a captain and his 50 men. The king had sent for him to come down from the mountain that he was on because the king was sick, and he'd sent word to a false god or a false prophet asking the question if he was going to get better or not. And Elijah stopped the messengers and told them, hey, go back to the king and tell him he's going to die. And the king says, who was it that gave me that message? And they said it was Elijah. And he said, well, I'm going to kill him. So he sends a captain and 50 men. And the captain said to Elijah, hey, man of God, come down from the mountain. The king wants you. And Elijah said, if I really am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and burn you up and your 50 men. That's exactly what happened. A second captain was sent with his 50 men. Same message for Elijah. Man of God, come down. The king wants you. Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and burn you up and your 50 men. And it happened. They sent a third captain. He learned. He went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. And I said, I know you burned up the first two guys. Please don't do that to me and my men. Couldn't you come see the king? He said, okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. In 2 Kings chapter 2, he split the Jordan River. And he and his protege, Elijah, crossed over on dry ground. And in that same chapter, he was taken to heaven. He and Elisha was there together, and a fiery chariot pulled by fiery horses came down and separated the two of them, and then he was caught up to heaven in a whirlwind. One of only two men in the Bible that went to heaven without dying. He and Enoch were the ones that did that. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was likened to Elijah. In the New Testament, when Jesus Christ asked the question, who do men say that I am? And the disciples answered, well, some say you are the prophet Elijah. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was transfigured before them. He turned a pure white, and there was a voice that came from heaven. God speaking said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There on that mountain, there were two Old Testament characters. Moses was one of them, and Elijah was the other one. In the prophecy, he will be one of the two prophets. He and Moses will stand together again, and they will rebuke the Antichrist. They will be killed and lay in the streets for 3 days and three nights, and then they will hear a voice, come up hither, and they will be taken up to heaven. But in 1 Kings chapter 17, we find Elijah at the brook Cherith. It was just the start of his ministry. It was before he did most of the things that I have recounted for you tonight, before he did any of those things. Because you see, at the brook, God had to teach Elijah some lessons. At the brook, Elijah had to learn those lessons before he could go and do what God wanted him to do. And so tonight, as we look at Elijah at the brook, I have 3 points that I want to make. 3 points about Elijah, 3 points that are true about our lives as well. Number one, God never forgets where we are. God never forgets where we are. He always knows our exact location. He does not need a tracking signal. He does not need a GPS. He does not need anything like OnStar. He knows exactly where we are as individuals every moment of every day and every moment of every night. At this particular time, probably nobody else knew where Elijah was. I mean, he had left his servant, and he had gone to hide from the king. The Bible says that Ahab looked for him and couldn't find him. The Bible says that Ahab had his servants looking for him and couldn't find him. And no man knew where Elijah was, but God for sure knew where Elijah was. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what was going on in Elijah's life. In the book of Malachi, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. God hasn't changed. The way that he operated with man, the way in the Old Testament, is the same way that he operated with man in the New Testament. It's the same way he operates with man today. Just like he knew exactly where Elijah was, just like he knew exactly what was going on in Elijah's life, he, for you, as an individual, I'm not talking about the whole, I'm talking about you as an individual, as an entity of one, God knows exactly where you are tonight. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. You know, some days we get up and we feel all alone. We feel troubled. We feel like singing the song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And we feel like singing that because we think nobody knows what's going on in our life. I mean, our health. I mean, the doctor may have given us some bad news. Or the health of somebody we love is failing. Or we're having trouble with one of our kids. Or we're having trouble with our siblings. Or we got financial problems. Our money runs out before all the bills are paid. Or the car is broke. Or the refrigerator is broke. Or the washer is broke. I mentioned Wednesday night, or I mentioned sometime recently, that trouble seems to come like bananas. It doesn't come one at a time. It comes in bunches when it comes. And we get up sometimes and we say, God, where are you? Is today your day off? Is this the week that you're on vacation? Do you know where I am? Do you know what's going on in my life? And God wants to scream back from heaven, yes, child, I know where you are. I know what's going on in your life. I have my eye on you. If you tried, you couldn't hide from me. Adam tried to hide. God knew exactly where he was. Jonah tried to hide. God knew exactly where he was. I want you to never forget tonight, never forget that God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. Number two, God will supply your need even if it takes a miracle. God will provide our needs even if it takes a miracle. Elijah was out in the wilderness. He was hidden from man. There was no Applebee's. There was no Lucky's. There was no Cracker Barrel. There was no Bob Evans. There was no Denny's. I mean, there wasn't a restaurant, or there wasn't even a McDonald's or a White Castle around that Elijah could go to and get something to eat. And he had to eat. I mean, just because he was in the wilderness doesn't mean he needed to eat. He needed to eat. He had to eat. And God said, Elijah, I know that you need to eat. Don't worry about it. I will take care of you. You're going to drink out of the brook. And I've commanded the ravens. Now, a raven, that's another name for the bird we know today as a vulture. It was a dirty bird. It could not be sacrificed. It could not be offered as a sacrifice on the altar. He said, I've commanded the ravens, and they will bring you bread and flesh in the morning, and then they will bring you more bread and more flesh in the evening. Now, ravens and vultures, they're the ones that look for the things that have died, and then they go pick the raw meat off the bone. Do you think for a moment that it was raw meat that the ravens brought Elijah to eat? I mean, do you think it was a piece of a cow that had been dead for 3 or 4 days, and the raven said, there's a tasty dish. I'll just stop and get a piece of that meat and take it to Elijah. I don't think God would send Elijah raw meat. My Bible says that my God does all things well. And when he fed Elijah, I think it was bread fresh out of the oven, and I think it was meat that was cooked just the way that Elijah liked it. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if God had those ravens fly into Ahab's kitchen or fly into Ahab's dining room and take the bread and the meat off of that wicked king's table to feed his man in the wilderness. He says, I'll take care of you. I know you need to eat. I know that you need to drink. You can drink out of the brook, and I'll send you bread and meat with the ravens. Again, I speculate. I don't know where the ravens got it. But every morning and every night, they brought Elijah something to eat. He did not miss a meal. Listen, God not only knows where you are, he not only knows what's going on in your life, he knows what you need. And God will supply our needs even if it takes a miracle. He'll supply our needs. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about the birds and the flowers. He says, the birds need to eat, but they don't have to sow and reap. He said, the flowers, the lilies of the field, they need to be decorated. They need to be clothed. And they don't need to, they don't spin. I feed the birds. I dress the lilies. I know you need to eat. I know you need to be clothed. Don't worry about it. I know that you need it. I will supply it. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need. Listen, all your need. All your need. Every need. Not every want, but every need God will supply according to his riches in glory. One of these days we're going to get to go into glory. One of these days we're going to see the riches that God has in glory. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And according out of those riches, God says, I will meet your need. We used to go to Debbie's grandmother's for Thanksgiving. She was a southern lady. And I can remember walking into her house the first time they asked me to go with them. It was even before we were married. I got to go down with her mom and dad and her. And I can remember walking into her house Thanksgiving morning is when we got there. We drove all night Wednesday. We got there Thanksgiving morning. And there were dishes and covered bowls on the stove, on the cabinets. They had tables set up. There must have been 100 dishes if there were one just sitting everywhere. And I said to Debbie, how many people are coming to Thanksgiving dinner? And she said, well, there'll probably be about 20. We'll get all the family. There'll be about 20. I said, who's going to eat all this food? And she says, oh, we'll eat it for days. We'll eat it for days. That's the way God, that's the resources that God has available to meet our need. We don't have to worry about God's cabinets running out. We don't have to worry about his freezer being empty. We don't have to worry about his fountain going dry. Out of the riches and glory, according to Jesus Christ, he will meet every need. Again, he may not give us everything we want. Some of the things we want would be bad for us. And God said, I'm not going to give you that. I know better. But I'll make sure everything you need, I'll supply. Everything. And then number three, don't worry about the circumstances. Don't worry about the circumstances. One day, Elijah was walking around and he noticed something. The brook is not as high as it used to be. It used to come all the way up to the bank, and now it's a little bit lower than it was. It hadn't rained for a long, long time. I think it's getting shallower. I don't think that brook is as deep as it was before. What am I going to do if the brook dries up? I mean, I know the ravens will continue to feed me, but what am I going to drink? This brook looks to me like it's getting dry. He said, and I don't know if he said this, but some of us would say this if we were in his condition, his state. He says, I think I better start worrying about this brook. In fact, I'm going to devote an hour a day where I'm going to do nothing else except just sit down and worry what I'm going to do if the brook run dry. We read in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And I can just see Elijah. If he was like some of us, I knew it was happening. I knew it would happen. I could see it coming. I knew I needed to worry about this. I could see this day before it happened. The brook has dried up. Now I've got nothing to drink. I'm in trouble. And what does God do? God comes to Elijah and says, hey, Elijah, don't worry about the circumstances. I want you to go down to Zarephath. I want you to live there. I've already commanded a widow woman to take care of you, to sustain you. And again, we know the story. Elijah went down to, to dwell with that widow woman, and she took care of him until the drought was over. She fed him, and he had things to drink out of the well that was there. And God says, why are you worried about the circumstances? Why are you worried about the circumstances? I know what's going to happen. I've already got a plan in place to take care of you when the brook dried up. You don't need to know that plan. I've got one. So just trust me. Don't sweat the circumstances. I know where you are. I know what you need. When the brook dries up, I've already got something in mind for you that I'm going to take care of you. So many times we worry about things that are about to happen. And we may be right. They may happen. But I want to tell you tonight, God's already got plan B. God's already got the alternative, how he is in mind. He's already got the plan how he is going to meet your need. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about the circumstance. I think of little children. I've never known a little child to worry about what they're going to eat. Travis is that Travis? No, there's Travis. He's still awake. Travis, let me ask you a question, bud. Do you ever worry about what you're going to eat? No. Whose job is it to worry about what you eat? Do you know? It's that guy's right there. It's daddy's job to always have a plan to make sure you have enough to eat. And the same way with God. We don't need to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't need to worry about what we're going to wear. We don't need to worry about the needs in our life. Our Father knows that we need it, and he says, I'll take care of you. I will provide your every need. And don't worry about when things begin to go bad. Don't worry about the circumstances of life. I know what's going on, and I will meet that need. I'll meet it. Now, the greatest need that a person might have tonight is the need for a Savior. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from the God that made us, the God that made us to fellowship with us, the God that made us to be part of his family. Our sin separates us from that God. There's nothing we could do to pay for it. But as we pictured in the Lord's Supper, God sent his Son to a cross, spilt his body was broken, blood was shed to pay for our sin. As Adam said, he did that for us as individuals. He provided that salvation for us as an individual. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I can't think of a better night to do it than the first Sunday night in March 2014. Can't think of a better time to do it. So if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I invite you to come in just a second. We're going to sing a song. We're going to stand. And if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you come. We'll take the Bible. We'll show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Thank you for being that kind of God to Elijah. Thank you for being that kind of God to us. I pray for those that may be here tonight that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've dealt with them in the last few minutes. You've convicted them of the last few minutes of their sin, of their need for a Savior. Help them, Holy Spirit, to come to Christ tonight. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us to know and remember you know exactly where we are. You know what we need, and you will supply that need even if it takes a miracle. So bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.